We do a conversation that we celebrate 60 years of Giants baseball, and we do one every Sunday, and it's brought to us by the U.S. Restaurant at 414 Columbus, Columbus and Vallejo. And we always have a great conversation from some part of Giants history. And as I said tonight, if you're coming to the fireworks display around the Embarcadero, the best thing to do, have dinner first at the U.S. and then sit down and watch the fireworks. It's a perfect combination for tonight. But our guest is Dave Righetti. Now, why is it important? Because Dave Righetti, on July 4th of 1983, pitched a no-hitter on George Steinbrenner's birthday and the birthday of America in Yankee Stadium against the Red Sox. And I always honor Dave on July 4th and play the interview I had with him. But then at the end of it, he talks a little bit about Tim Lincecum and Lincecum's no-hitters as well. So we'll use it as our Giants conversation for today as we honor Dave Righetti and his contribution to the Giants, and so much is done. So here's my conversation. It's about 7 or 8 minutes with Dave Righetti. All right, joining us on KBR 680, a very special day, July the 4th. And, boy, every time I come and do a show on July 4th, there's only one guy I want to talk to. That's Dave Righetti. And, Dave, what a day for you, July 4th.
Yeah, it was pretty special, and it's even more special now. It's over the years because everything's so out there now, and things are brought back, and there's a lot of history involved with the Yankees and the Red Sox, things like that. I'm very fortunate to be associated with such a nice day.
Well, it was a no-hitter against the Red Sox on July 4th. With 83, am I correct?
Yeah.
83, the birthday of George Steinbrenner, which always was an interesting day. Yeah. But the place was wild. It was a hot day. Wade Boggs is the last out. I mean, it was right out of Hollywood.
You know, it turned out to be. You're right. As you're involved in it, we were in a situation where playing the Red Sox and trying to stay in first place or fight for it. And, of course, it's the last day before the All-Star break, and they beat us up pretty good for Friday and Saturday and both night games, I believe. And I was just trying to hold them at bay and give us a chance to, you know, to win. And it grew, of course, and the game stayed so close for so long that my mind was on, you know, winning the ball game the whole way. And people have asked me, of course, you know, when do you think about the no-hitter? Well, you always know it's there, but there's one way to think about it, one way to go for it. And in the ninth inning, I was going to go for it. Of course, I walked a leadoff hitter after about, I think, 8 pitches, Jeff Newman. So I was a little tired. I said, oh, what the heck did I just do? You know, the game's more important no matter what. So when you get the 2 outs is when you're supposed to really, you know, okay, I'm going to go for it. I don't care if I walk a guy here or there. But fortunately, the next couple guys put the bat on the ball right away, Glenn Hoppin and Jerry Remy. And so I had some left in my tank, you know, to face Wade. And fortunately, you know, he missed that pitch, and he continues to miss it, thank God. So, yeah, it's, you know, there's been a lot of cool stuff that's come out of it. And mostly my family's got to watch it. The kids watch it every year. This year they won't, but, you know, I'm sure it's played in New York, of course. But there's so many different things that came from that game. Like you said, Mr. Steinbrenner's birthday, it was the last day of the All-Star break. So my mother's birthday was 2 days later, so it was like a present for her. And again, being against the Red Sox makes it, you know, special for us as any ex-Yankee, you know. So, and the telegrams that back then, the Western Unions, and a lot of the newspapers from all over the world, those are the coolest stuff to, you know, to see. And when you run into people, of course, if they were there, you know, it's nice. They share it with their kids a lot. And so, not to ramble on, but yeah, there's just so much that has come out of it. It's really made it really special.
Boy, Dave Righetti with us July 4th. And plus, your dad was still with us. Leo Righetti, a wonderful PCL player, great guy. And you could share that with him.
Yeah, we did. You know, it was funny. Back then, they didn't have any, the big, there was no big screen TVs, of course. So the big giant radars were just starting, but they weren't public yet a lot. But there was a gentleman, yeah, there's a golf course up in East San Jose. Oh, gosh, name escapes me. I'll come back in a second. But anyway, Ray Anderson was the owner, and Ray had a big dish. And so my parents always went to my mom's sister's house, and they had a big celebration every 4th of July. And so they were up there, and I guess by telephone they kept my dad informed of what was going on. So Ray was able to do that and share it with my share it with, you know, my dad at the time and my parents and everybody there. All my family was there. So they, Spring Valley Golf Course in East San Jose Hills. So that was cool to find out about that later on, that they were involved in it somehow. So,
and what did he say to you? I mean, look, he's a ball player, and you're a ball player. And, you know, no-hitter is a great pitching performance. Yeah. There's a little bit of luck involved, too. Sure. What did he say to you?
Believe it or not, I mean, he congratulated me, of course. And first thing back then, it was, yeah, you want to talk to your mother, that kind of thing. But before he left, he said, you did walk four guys, huh? You know, so I said, yeah, Dad, I did. I rocked the Jim Rice a couple times, which was really smart at that point. But, yeah, that's, honestly, that's what he said. He said, congratulations. They were proud of me. And I said, I won't be going to the All-Star game, so I'm going to stay in New York. I'm not flying home. He said, well, stay out of trouble. He didn't know I was going to Atlantic City with Greg Nettles. So.
What a great story. It's a wonderful story. I'm so appreciative of your being on. So were you a no-hit pitcher who didn't talk to anybody during the game? Because you've been involved, obviously, as a pitching coach with some very special games now. Well, how did you react?
Honestly, you know what? Nobody was talking to me, including Billy, who I used to sit next to, and Art Fowler. I'd sit next to Art, and of course he was next to Billy, but I would run up. This is an old story. I don't want to bring up some old stuff, but I used to get away from certain coaches during the game. So I'd go upstairs, which was a quick walk up the runway, and back then it was much cooler in the clubhouse. And I come back with two outs. And then once I did that, I had to continue, right, because I hadn't given up a hit. Not that I wanted to go up there every inning like that, but I did that, and I changed my gum and listened to whatever's going on TV. Well, Nettles was up there, who had pink eye and couldn't play in the game. And we were going to Atlantic City because we were stuck out in New York, not able to get to do anything with our family. So he wanted to drive me up there, but he had the pink eye. And I don't know, maybe to relax me, maybe I looked nervous or whatever. He said, hey, you want me to drive or this or that? I said, what are you talking about? You know, he says, oh, Atlantic City. I said, oh, all right, yeah, whatever. If you want to drive, whatever. So maybe it did. It might have helped. But he did say that to me right before the end of the game. But for the most part, nobody said anything. I didn't talk to Butch Weiniger, who was catching, or anything.
Now, you've been a pitching coach for a perfect game, for a couple of no-hitters here. And how do you treat, I mean, Lincecum seems to talk to people. The other ones, boy, Kane, Belt sat in his seat and it was trouble.
Yeah, Timmy's, it might have made him feel better to converse with guys. He did it in both of them. And we talked about hitters who were coming up. He was wondering who was going to pinch hit. In the ninth, I said, you might get two of them, and he did. I think he got Grandal, and he got, who else, two pinch hitters in a row. I should know that, right? Right off the bat. But anyway, so we were talking about that, and he was always talking about his delivery and talking to Huddy and pretty much anybody. But, you know, Kaner would do it a little bit with Pose, and so it was. It really gets quiet, you know, towards the end. But, you know, I think it actually helped Timmy to be on base, so he had something else to think about while he was busy out there. And, of course, he didn't have to run real hard, and there was a lull. I think there was a pitching change, too. So a little bit of that helped. But, yeah, every guy's different. I think that, you know, you just don't want somebody to come right out and say, hey, you got a no-hitter going. But for the most part, I think guys should do whatever they've been doing the whole game, you know. So anyway.
Well, pleasure to have you on. I always love the time with you, and congratulations. You're a big part of baseball lore, and that's a no-hitter against the Red Sox, July the 4th, 1983, a steamy day in New York City, Red Sox and Yankees, and you got it done, so I appreciate having you on.
Thanks, Marty, for having me.
Right. Okay. More coming up on KNBR 680, the sports leader.